up. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Gather around, everybody. Gather around, everybody. What time is it? It's a showtime. What time is it? It's a showtime.
Who wants to see what he's going to do? I do.
Because I'm going to do it.
He's going to do it.
I'll do it.
Got to do it.
Let's do it.
It's honestly time to do it.
Yeah, we're about to.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin Ryder, you moron. Next time you're invited to a Halloween party, go as David Hasselhoff, you alcoholic. Don't forget your In-N-Out cheeseburgers, bitch.
I'm gonna let my butthole talk.
Keep on dancing.
Hey, is it totally obvious that I'm not wearing underwear? Because it should be.
I know. Gross.
You're gross.
You're disgusting.
You're the worst.
You're awful.
You belong in a casket.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Our feature presentation.
How do you come back from you belong in a casket?
You don't.
That's pretty strong. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th of October.
Yeah, it is.
Woo!
Woo! Kevin, are you cutting it a little closer this week than usual? Or
I mean, yes.
I mean, I feel like you walked in 60 seconds ago.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday was rain, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Today?
Today I didn't get up as early as I should have.
Okay. All right. Cut a little close.
I was playing poker till pretty late last night.
So
I got home. I probably got home at midnight.
Oh, my.
And didn't get sleep till about 1:30, I would guess. Wow.
Ideal or not ideal?
Perfect.
Perfect. All right.
It's perfect, yeah.
And Chip, how late were you out last night at Green Day?
I went to bed around the same time.
All right.
By the time I got home to Orange County, yeah.
So it's going to be strong on that side of the controls today. Yeah. It's
going to be good.
Going to be a good day. Hey, how was Green Day? Real fast, Chip, before we move on.
Awesome. I was telling you off air earlier, but Green Day sounded amazing. Like, they played 30 songs, like 2.5 hours. But as I left, I listened to 2.5 hours of Green Day. I had Careless Whisper stuck in my head leaving the show. Still do. What? Not any Green Day songs.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael.
Sure.
Because in the middle of one of their songs, I think either King for a Day or Shout or whatever, Jason Freese plays keyboards and sax for them. In the middle of a solo, he just started busting out Careless Whisper.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Sure.
So that's what stuck in my head. Saw, you know, lots of great Green Day songs. That's not what stuck in my head.
It could be worse.
It could be worse.
But that is the rule. I mean, the worst song is the one that gets stuck in your head all day long.
So all day long, all you're hearing is... Can't help it.
But maybe better. Careless Whisper?
It was Careless Whisper.
Yes. Again.
Take another run at that.
No!
That's kind of how it goes, right?
No.
Well, let me hear you do it, Allie.
We're waiting it.
How is that different than what I did, except more annoying?
It's not.
Oh.
It's exactly what you did, but
no,
more annoying.
Really?
Oh, please.
This was lower in kazoo. Mine was higher and at least...
More annoying.
Tune.
Kevin, you're shot at it.
I don't really feel like I could beat either of you.
Okay.
So I'm not going to try.
Okay.
Just not going to try.
Got a huge program for you today, but I want to get started with this story that I enjoyed so much. The guy is a hero as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you heard this is in upstate New York near Albany in a place called Half Moon.
Jessup?
No.
Okay.
He was in West Virginia, by the way.
Oh.
His neighbor's house is on fire. And he, like a hero, busts in through the wall of his neighbor's house to rescue his neighbor's dog.
See the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah.
Essentially, yes.
Through the
he
wall.
Drove his car into the wall.
Oh.
To get into the house.
Okay.
Seems like maybe breaking a window might have been easier. But, I mean, when the house is on fire, you do what you have to do. It's extraordinary circumstances, and you do it in a hurry. But, however, the neighbors are not pleased that he did all that to save their pooch. And let's see if we can find out why from this news report.
Talk about a bad trip. Allegedly, through this fence and ending with 43-year-old Michael Orchard in Saratoga County Jail. Troopers say Orchard told them he mixed LSD with cough medicine Thursday afternoon, and they found him standing heroically with a dog in his arms outside of what he thought was a giant inferno.
He believed that the residence was on fire.
Oh, no.
And he was rescuing the dog.
No.
Neighbors tell us Orchard went around.
Wait, hold on.
No.
Wait, the house wasn't on fire?
Hold on now. The whole basis of this story is the house is on fire.
Yes. That is why he made the decision to break into the house to rescue the dog, Kevin, because the house was on fire. But wait, he's on LSD, so what?
Neighbors tell us Orchard went around the neighborhood banging on doors, yelling about a fire. Since no one would help, because there was no fire, the animal lover took matters into his own hands to save the dog, allegedly driving his BMW 3 Series through the fence. Troopers say once Orchard got through this fence with his vehicle, he got out, went up to the back door, smashed through it, and then went inside to save the family's dog.
Oh, he was like the Kool-Aid man. Allie, you were right about that.
Yeah.
So the neighbors, what's going on with the neighbors where this guy, this crazy man knocks on the door and says, you got to help, look, there's a fire. And then they look out, there's no fire. It must have been so confusing for him that people were just probably slamming doors on him, right?
Oh,
imagine
God.
What's going through his head. All right, so now he's in the house.
Orchard was charged with burglary and criminal mischief and put in county jail on $15,000 bail. Neighbors didn't want to go on camera because they're scared of retribution in the tightly packed development.
What do you think that's about, by the way?
Retribution.
What retribution against them? They weren't even home. They just had a crazy guy knock down their door and their fence.
That's weird.
Why would they be? Why would anyone look negatively at them, I wonder? And it's not like they charged him or sued him, as far as we know. He was just arrested for all the things he did. I was confused by that.
Several neighbors listing things Orchard has allegedly destroyed in the past. We asked Trooper Mark Siepel why there were no drug charges if Orchard was allegedly high.
He drove over yards and through the fence, and at no point was he on the roadway, nor were any illegal substances found in his possession.
Troopers say Orchard was very cooperative. And who wouldn't be if you thought you were a dog-saving hero and not a suspect?
Dog-saving hero right there, ladies. You know, the man just trying to do the right thing, that's
so
all.
He did not get charged because he wasn't driving on the street?
Yes, he's driving over yards and through fences.
That's
yeah.
insane.
That neighborhood's whacked. Everything about this story. Everything. The police, everything. None of that makes sense.
But the dog's fine, you guys.
Thank God.
I mean, the dog was real.
The dog was also fine before all of this.
Yeah, yes, true. The dog was just laying on a rug, just having a nap.
Just laying on a rug.
Next thing you know, this crazy man just comes in and drags it out into the street for no reason. But I want you to know, though, because I was concerned when I saw the headline, that the dog is real, first of all, and the dog was fine. The dog wasn't hurt at all.
I heard laying on a rug.
I heard it was.
That's what I heard.
That's a pretty good guess,
like
by the
do.
Way.
No, as a dog?
Kevin, you have a dog. When you're not home, what are the chances that most of the time your dog is just laying on a rug? Right?
I mean,
that's what dogs
he's
do.
Just laying on a rug.
You don't know, man.
I feel like we do. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Even when white folks try to be exciting, they still boring.
Yeah. Harvey Levin from TMZ on the program today.
Oh, because it's Monday.
Usually it's Monday when we talk to him, but he was busy yesterday, so we have him on today's Kevin DeBicho. Bob Dylan got the Nobel Literature Prize, and they can't get a hold of him. They're trying to call him, won't answer, going through his people, nobody, nothing.
That's hilarious to me, by the way.
Same.
Yeah, it's like, to me, this is like Bill Murray, trying to get a hold of Bill Murray. You know what I mean? To put him in a movie. It's the same kind of thing. He just does not play the game.
He probably just doesn't care.
Mm-mm. Possibly, yeah.
I love it. Also, in studio today, we have comedian Ralphie May. And we have a showrunner for Veep, David Mandel, who is one of our heroes because Veep is one of our favorite shows.
And what a fascinating life he's had in television, right? With Saturday Night Live and Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm and so many other shows that he's been a part of. I mean, the guy is a TV legend.
And he's talking about Star Wars art.
So it gets better.
It gets better every time. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBicho at 5:54.
All right. You win the sax off. I think we've already given you the crown. You can stop. We got it. Noted.
And the winner is. Thank you very much, Ralph Guerin. Hey, it's Tuesday morning. Do you mind, Ralph, if I put in a quick plug for your live appearance on Friday morning?
Yes!
Because some of our early morning listeners...
I said I mind!
Oh, you do mind. Okay.
I hate blood!
Jeez. No, go ahead. Just kidding. Just having some fun.
Some of our early morning listeners may not be around to hear this later, but Ralph, if you're a big Ralph fan, I know there's a lot of Garmy listeners, you can meet the man at Universal Studios Hollywood on Friday morning. You're going to be down there all show, right?
Yes.
From around now until just before 10 a.m., and you're going to have Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights tickets to give away, Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets, mm-hmm. 21 Pilots, Danny Elfman's Halloween shows, Festival Supreme, Panic at the Disco, Bad Religion. You'll just be stuffed with tickets, and all you have to do is go down and give blood, and you get free stuff, if I understand correctly.
I don't believe you have to give blood to get free stuff. I believe there's some legalities to
That's BS.
But we surely do encourage that if you do come down to get your greedy little ass something for free, that you certainly do the right thing and give up some corpuscles for those who need it.
Yeah, it takes like 20 minutes to give blood, and it literally can save a life. So it's K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood
Drive. What's wrong with you? Why are you gagging, Allie?
He said corpuscles.
Yeah, that's what's in blood.
I don't love it.
It's this Friday at Universal Studios Hollywood during the Kevin DeBeach. You'll get your details at K-Rock.com. Time now for a look at the showbiz beat.
Speaking of doing the right thing, how about giving some money to charity and getting a celebrity collectible? Would you like to own a bike once owned by Robin Williams?
No.
No. Oh.
Not really.
Then we're in trouble, because that premise is sort of all about this story.
Huh.
So if you're saying no, I really have no reason
but
to go
some
along.
Some people might.
Robin's children, Zach, Zelda, and Cody, are auctioning off his collection of 87 bikes. Did you know he had 87 bicycles?
No.
He was a hardcore bicycling fanatic. Loved riding his bike around the Bay Area, and he would race and stuff. Loved bike racing. So he's got 87 bikes, and they're going up for charity auction at paddle8.com is the name of the auction website to go to. All the proceeds will go to the two charities he supported the most, the Challenged Athletes Foundation, which gave grants and gives grants and support to athletes with disabilities, and the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, which funds research and support for people with spinal cord injuries. Not a lot of folks know, but Christopher Reeve and Robin Williams were best friends.
Yeah. Huh.
And when Chris had his accident and damaged his spinal cord, Robin was very instrumental in helping raise money for that foundation, and continues to be so. So it's a nice thing to do, and you get a little something-something for your troubles. Hey, I want everybody to know pasties are back for fall. Pasties.
Pasties.
Make sure you get your pasties. It's a fall fashion necessity. Apparently, according to all the celebrity stylists, pasties should be on your fall shopping list for this year.
Are these for the ladies to wear in public?
No, Bean. These are for pirates to wear, like eye patches.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you put the pasties on because...
In public?
Not just private pasty usage. The sheer lace body stocking is the fashion accessory of the fall season. I'd say you can't go out there in public with a sheer lace body stocking on, and you can't have a nipple show. Here's the thing, what you have to do. You have to cover up just a little small part of the breast, and then no one will know you have breasts, and no one will be paying any attention to them. But the minute, if you see a little darker skin in the center of the breast, all hell breaks loose.
That's the sin part.
That's the evil, right? Everyone knows.
Now somebody goes to jail if that happens.
Nipples are evil.
That's
never
crazy.
Understood that concept. Same. Of the pasty. Insane. If you cover up just a half an inch of flesh, it's acceptable. Yeah. Take that half. End times.
And by the way, the male nipple identical to the female nipple, yet you can wear it all day.
Maybe you're Tharse Taylor.
You can't wear it all day though. That's true.
No, I'm saying you can go out there all day with your shirt off and no trouble. You know what I mean?
I wear my nipples all day. No,
you do?
Exact same body part.
I never take them off.
Really?
Always. They're always wearing
them.
I feel like
sleep?
They slip a little bit with sweat.
No. I have double stick tape on. It's all over for Billy Bush of the Today Show. NBC News has released a statement saying Billy was a valued colleague and longtime member of the broader NBC family. And we wish him success as he goes forward, but he is leaving effective today.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Boy, is that management speak, if I ever heard it. Sources are saying Billy Bush got around a $9 million settlement to walk away from his gig. I just want to put this out there. As much as I love my work and my job here at K-Rock
right.
FM 106.7, Pasadena, Los Angeles, should they want to offer me a $9 million settlement just to walk away, I will entertain that offer.
Is that right?
I will entertain it. I'm not saying I'd take it.
You have to think about it.
I would have to think about it.
I'd walk away for $5,000 right now.
Really?
I got a couple. Anybody else want to pitch in?
Throw some in.
Do you have a bake sale? Give me a fireman's hat. I'll go just stand by the roadside.
I'm sure our listeners would contribute. Hey, Ralph, I know I'm not the first or maybe even the thousand.
You just interrupted your own statement.
He really did.
I have no time for me.
I know others have said this, but I think it bears repeating again. Billy Bush, who was the sidekick on the horrible... horrible misogynistic talk in that tape from Access Hollywood.
He was the Robin to the Batman of his
song. Exactly, yes. Yeah. He was not the leader of that conversation, right? He lost his job doing cooking segments on the Today Show because of his participation.
He's not qualified to host a morning show.
TV.
No.
Yet the other dude, the Batman, the leader of the conversation, the one who talked about trying to pick up an F-married women and grabbing them against their will and holding that guy's still running for president and it's fine.
Yeah, what's your point?
I just want to make sure I understand the punishment that's being doled out here.
I think you need to recognize that morning television is more important than the presidency.
That's my
and
takeaway.
And it was 11 years ago. He was only 60.
Right.
So,
he was a boy.
Just boy talk.
He was a boy talk.
Just boy talk.
Boy talk.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Oh, come on, Bobby. And you forgot locker room talk.
Right.
So, got that going for it.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
Just words, folks. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyler Posey, my boy. Tyler Posey. He's a good man. You know him from Teen Wolf. And probably it. But he was in Yoga Hoses with me, and he's a good kid. I like him a lot. 25 years old today. Zac Efron.
Sorry, that was involuntary.
29 years old today. Frida Pinto. Frida Pinto. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Frida Pinto still with her co-star from Slumdog Millionaire?
I think they might still be together.
I know they started dating on that set, and I believe there's still a couple, if I'm not mistaken. His name escapes me right now. But
what is his name?
You know, of course, from Newsroom and...
sure.
Come on.
Dev Patel.
Dev Patel.
There you go.
Yes. Are they still a couple?
I'm not sure. I don't have
Thanks
that
for your help.
Joy
Bryant is 42
years
old today.
Because we don't know. They split up.
They split up last year.
But they are still best friends.
All right.
It says here.
They're celebrities. And Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme. The Muscles from Brussels celebrates his 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
David Mandel, the showrunner for the funniest show on TV, Veep, joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and comedian Ralphie May will be here as well. First, though, is this a rare Tuesday morning appearance from our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com? Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Did you watch our future first lady on the television last night?
Wasn't that interesting?
It was, and I felt so bad for her because she seems like such a nice lady, but she's kind of forced into the corner by all the dumbass things her husband does.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I'm glad you said it because I'm gonna take a very unpopular stand that I really believe in, and everybody's gonna say, "God, Levin, I hate you for this," but I'm gonna take a stand.
All right.
So maybe Donald Trump did this stuff. Maybe he did. But tell me, if in a category, who are the thirstiest people in pop culture? Who are the thirstiest? What group?
I'm not sure I understand. You're talking about people who...
I'll answer my own question.
Okay.
Reality stars, right?
Okay.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay, yeah.
So some woman says, "Oh, yeah, he kissed me. And it happened, 8-10 years ago." Didn't say anything until 2 weeks before the election. Boom! She's on CNN, and Anderson Cooper's talking about her. You know how damaging sexual assault allegations are against somebody? And, anybody can make them against anyone. And, to just, like, throw people on television and make assumptions, almost, that they're accurate. I mean, this one woman, for example, who, you know, who talked about this, she's the one that, I don't know if you remember, we did this story, and in fact, I talked to you guys about it a long time ago. She was married to this plastic surgeon from Extreme Makeover. His name is Bill Dorfman, and she had dinner with him one night and then didn't tell him she had filed divorce papers. She did this racist song 3 months ago and had to apologize for it. I mean, she likes publicity, and I'm not saying she's right or wrong, but boom, she makes a statement, and boom, they put her on CNN. And it's like, doesn't it bother you just a little bit?
It doesn't bother me because it's not like they've been sitting dormant and for no reason came up out of the woodwork to influence
the
election.
30 years ago.
But
30 years.
Right, but Harvey, they didn't just come up on their own out of nowhere. They came up because they saw the man that allegedly sexually assaulted them on TV swearing that he didn't do it.
So let me ask you a question.
I think that's too much for people to sit on.
You may be right, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying they will just put everybody on right now. And I will say this: if Donald Trump is running for president of the United States, isn't that also motivation to say he's unfit because he did X to me, and that could have been said how long ago?
Harvey, sincere question. Coming forward on sexual assault, what am I gaining as a woman?
Well, I think you're right, and believe me, I have no idea what is factual and what isn't factual. And if somebody really is assaulted, absolutely, I get it, and it's painful and it's terrible, and the person should pay. But at the same time, you know, how do you know it's true? And you do understand that when somebody makes an allegation like that, if it turns out a year down the line somebody finds out, oh, it was BS. Mm-hmm. That charge is going to stick with you.
Well, the allegation sticks, yeah. Always more than the apology.
So
what do you do, Harvey? You run a news organization. If you're the New York Times and you have multiple women coming to you and saying that this is what's happened, do you just not print it because it can't be corroborated?
I guess the question is this. Do you then put everybody in? So all of a sudden everybody comes forward. Do you put everybody up?
I mean, I guess they have to make a journalistic decision whether they think they're credible or not.
What's the journalistic decision? Where's the vetting? They make a statement. They're on TV in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, it's not a perfect system, especially when there aren't corroborating witnesses. I mean, it really is. It's a he said, she said situation, and I think people are in their own minds deciding who they believe. But I think
but they're doing it on CNN and not in court.
I mean, you're a lawyer. None of these cases could go to court, right, without witnesses?
Well, that's not true. I mean, domestic violence cases get prosecuted all the time, and there are usually only two people in the room. And sometimes the woman who is a victim won't even testify because she's so afraid, yet they still convict 90% of the men in L.A. County. So that's not true.
How did you think Melania did on the interview last night? She definitely stood by her man.
She did, and, you know, look, I don't know. I'm not sure. At this point, honestly, I don't know if the needle's moving in either direction. I think people, you know, even though they're saying there are a lot of undecided voters, I think there are a lot of people who aren't happy, period, with the election, with the choices on either side. But, you know, I think a lot of people are saying, okay, I've kind of made my mind up on what. I don't know that it's changing anything at this point.
This is going to be a long-ass 2 weeks, though, and please let it be over soon.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, the whole thing is just depressing.
It's a very distasteful process.
There's been nothing
times
like
10.
That.
Yeah,
times 10.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, before we let you get your meeting, just real quick, can we please talk about the Russell Crowe thing? Because this is one of the craziest stories with this Azalea Banks. And don't misunderstand, Azalea Banks is a different person from Iggy Azalea. Don't get them confused. She's a rapper, and she's at a party with Russell Crowe and some other people. What happened, Hardy?
Well, she supposedly didn't like the music that was being played, and this is according to the witnesses there. In fact, she even kind of admits that. Now, she says that Russell Crowe then choked her and spit on her. She had picked up a glass and had threatened to cut somebody, but she says he called her the N-word, choked her, spit on her. She filed a battery report. The witnesses in the room who are Russell's friends are siding with Russell, and Russell is saying this woman was out of control, and she broke this glass in a threatening manner, or swung it at us in a threatening manner, and I picked her up and I threw her out of the room. So there's surveillance tape at the Beverly Hills Hotel where this happened, and the police are going to look at the surveillance tape, and it's probably going to tell a big part of the story. I don't think there's any audio on the tape, but in terms of video, they're probably going to be able to get to the bottom of it.
I'd be very surprised if there's video on a private party that Russell Crowe is having. You would think that he and his friends wouldn't want that to exist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any inside the room. I don't know how much video.
It was in the hallway, right?
Yeah, but once you see the hallway, I think that's where you're going to see something. So I don't know. I mean, the video may help. I have no idea. But
Allie, tell Harvey what you were telling us earlier about a witness that you saw.
Oh, Jim Jeffries tweeted right after your story on TMZ came out. And he's a comic, a friend of Kevin and Bean. And he said, Azealia Banks is a complete liar. I was in the room. Russell Crowe is completely innocent. I will take a lie detector.
She is off the rails a lot.
Yeah, she is. But
we can't say that.
In her defense, if he was playing his own awful 30-odd foot of grunt span, it's almost understandable why she would flip out.
Well, you guys are the music experts.
All right, TMZ.com for these stories and so much more. Look for TMZ Live this afternoon at 4 on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Sports airing Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, take the TMZ tour with your friends and family at TMZ.com. Harvey, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Comedian Ralphie May coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show just after 7. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:40.
Did you mention the Kevin and Bean Show?
I did not, no.
Okay. Bob Dylan Bob Dylan is a guy who I get that there may be people listening who just don't care about Bob Dylan. But
I'm one of them.
He's with you.
Yeah. I love him, and he is hilariously in the news right now. He's a guy who has been making records for over 50 years and has had quite a successful career. He's won everything from the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He's won an Academy Award for one of his songs. He's won the Golden Globe. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. The list goes on and on and on, and I feel like Bob Dylan is just at the point where he just doesn't matter what you give me now. I don't care anymore. I'm over it. So last week he wins the Nobel Prize in Literature, which by any stretch of the imagination, if you're a writer of any kind, that's got to be as good as it gets, right?
But is that for his lyrics?
Yes. Okay. That's for his lyrics. Yeah, that's what he writes. He considers himself is considered by many to be a poet. I mean, is there anything bigger than winning the Nobel Prize in Literature if you are a writer?
Probably not.
It's the biggest prize there is.
Yeah.
He won't even call him back.
What?
They're trying to give him the award. They're trying to set it up for him to come to Sweden at the ceremony and get the award, or if he doesn't want to come to Sweden, to somehow send him the award, or, hey, can we get your address? You know, just something.
Very busy.
You've won the Nobel Prize. Bob, we want to give it to you. Not a word.
No interest.
He goes on stage and does shows. That the night he won, he was on in Las Vegas. Not a word about it. Just nothing on his website.
Are we sure he knows?
Well, I mean, I assume the word would get to him.
Right.
But he's not even picking up the phone. So we wanted to find out more. We've had a great relationship with Mr. Dylan over the years. We asked producer Dave, is there any chance Bob will talk to us? And I believe we have him on the phone with us right now on KROQ.
Hello?
Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How you doing, buddy?
Kevin and Bean.
I don't know what you said, but we're happy to talk to you as well.
Yeah.
You know why we're calling, Bob.
No, what's that?
We want to congratulate you mm-hmm. on the phenomenal honor of being awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature this year.
What's that?
Yeah, the Nobel Prize. So you did get the message. You heard that you won.
Yeah, don't. Oh, he runs it. Whatever.
Leave you alone? It's not a whatever thing. It's a tremendous honor.
Yeah, a bunch of Swedish people are going to say, here's the thing. Here's the good. Right?
I got that.
It's them.
It is dumb.
Yeah. I got a little IKEA meatballs.
So is it the award or is it Sweden?
Whatever.
Whatever. Okay.
You don't care either way.
Whatever.
I know I won. They're calling. They keep calling me all the time.
Well, as a courtesy, though, don't you say thank you and accept your award and here's my address, mail it to me or something?
Not even your address?
I got a text.
Oh.
Nobel Prize in Literature. I know. It's you. Oh,
you got mail.
Oh, no.
Hereby, we're going to give you this. Delete.
Bob Dylan still got AOL? What's that?
He's getting a fax.
Oh, getting a fax.
Oh, wow. See, they're doing everything they can.
You inform you, you have one. I know. I don't care. It's a disease. And it's got... Oh, my page is going off.
Oh, no.
You have
a beeper.
Page of Nobel Prize. And I just don't care. I don't see what I'm
doing. Oh, no
my telegraph. Telegraph. You have won Nobel Prize.
Who knew? Word from Morse code.
I didn't want to be left alone. This is home. Who is it?
Nobel Prize.
Bob's not here. Bob's dead. Go away.
I hear you.
Ah!
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
At 9 o'clock this morning and all day long up till 9 p.m., we're giving away tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights all this week on K-Rock. If you want to go, get your details at K-Rock.com. Be sure to be here at 9 o'clock to win your tickets. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Oh.
What's going on the showbiz beat?
The greatest news ever.
Ooh.
Greatest news ever.
It's a great time to be alive.
Okay.
Candy Crush, the TV show.
Yay!
Wait, what?
Candy Crush.
The TV show?
Oh, Candy Crush. Anybody else play the Candy Crush here besides me?
No.
I can't stop.
Can't stop? Not a year ago you can't stop?
A year ago I couldn't stop. When it first came out, I couldn't stop.
Wow.
Maybe some people lose their attention span, Bean, but some of us are in for the long haul.
I see it everywhere. Everybody I know plays that.
It's so much fun.
But is it a TV show?
It is now.
How?
Because.
What will the show be?
It'll be a one-hour live-action game show. According to producers, Candy Crush will follow teams of two people as they use their wits and physical agility to compete on enormous interactive game boards.
Well, it doesn't sound awesome.
Featuring next-generation technology to conquer Candy Crush and be crowned champions.
I don't like it.
The producer of the show is the guy who created Wipeout, by the way.
All right.
Okay.
Right?
That could be good.
Yeah.
Could be. It's Candy Crush.
Right.
Ugh, I'm already bored.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Get this week stuck out of here.
I don't think Bean is as enthused as I am.
Nope. No one is.
Because you don't know. All I do, I get up in the morning, I play Candy Crush, I sit around, I hang out, watch some television, little Candy Crush.
Game.
So much Candy Crush.
This does put into context how often we hear you say, I'm too busy, I don't have time.
Well, that's just me trying to ignore you. But there are real times where I'm just consumed with Candy Crush, so...
Hmm.
A host has not yet been announced.
Oh, I think we know a young man who might be perfect for
that. I'm just saying, yeah. Matt Kunitz, executive producer of Candy Crush the series. Bring it on. I will crush you. That's probably not the best way to get a job. I will be kind to you.
Ralph, would you rather host or would you rather be one of the contestants who gets to play Candy Crush on the fancy machine?
Fancy machine?
Well, yeah, you said it was a giant interactive
screen. What are those horseless carriages I've heard so much about?
Fancy machine. Maybe you could play Candy Crush on TV, be the envy of all your friends, and win like a huge cash prize.
Or have a gig as a host for an entire season and maybe
be around Candy Crush forever and live in Candy Crush land?
What a question
I don't
is
think
that?
There's a Candy Crush land.
There is now.
Okay.
Oh, it's a good day.
I'm so surprised by your take on this. This seems exactly like the kind of show you would hate show business for producing.
But Candy Crush is so much fun.
Huh.
Okay. That's why Bean can't connect up with it. Now it just struck me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that fun force field. He's got the triple F that we talk about so often. Hey, this is good news, too. Captain Planet's coming back.
Captain Planet!
Right?
Woo!
Captain Planet. I get the sense you guys aren't familiar with Captain Planet either. Captain Planet was an awesome cartoon series back in the 90s. It was five teenagers who would bring together
their magical amulets or their rings. What do they have, rings or amulets, Chip?
Rings,
right? And they would, together, they would summon up Captain Planet, superhero whose main goal is to protect our environment.
Okay.
Quick trivia question. Who did the voice of Captain Planet in its first season?
Bill Cosby. Oh.
Yes, you're right, Kevin.
I'm here to protect the planet, and I will... You have the power!
That was a pretty good guess, by the way, for a guy to do a voiceover on an animated show in the 70s, though.
To play a superhero who's defending the planet?
Sure, why not?
I was just being funny.
Because it's dumbass.
Okay.
That's why not.
I was doing it as maybe the last person that would do that.
Right. Kevin was trying to be dumbass.
Oh, I thought it was made a lot of sense.
It didn't, dumbass.
Because of Fat Albert?
Yeah, and he was everywhere doing everything in the 70s.
This is the 90s.
As we said, it was a series from the 90s.
Oh, it was the 90s. I wasn't listening. Sorry.
Have you stroked out? You need an MRI, stat, or a CAT scan, or something. Or maybe you need your hole drilled in your head. Put some brains in you.
It helps, Bean.
I have a guess.
Have you not heard a word we just said the last minute?
All right, who did the voice?
Get a CAT scan, seriously. Okay. Something's wrong.
Noted.
You've got lesions.
Okay.
Answer my trivia question. Tom Cruise.
No kidding.
Huh. That was close.
Anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio's production team is bringing Captain Planet back and putting it up on the big screen. So, exciting news.
Will Captain Planet play Candy Crush?
Captain Planet of the Planeteers. Oh, man, that was good times.
Is that his band?
No, those were the kids that would summon him.
Sorry. I wasn't listening.
The power is in you. What was the catchphrase, Chip? Do you remember? The power is you or something?
I think you're right.
The power's in you.
Yeah.
Because the power is in you. Stop it, Al. You wish the power was in you once in a while.
A little bit.
Once in a while.
And Live Nation has announced... A new amphitheater for Orange County, because, you know, they just closed the good old Irvine Amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And so now they're bringing a new one out. How about that?
That's good.
It is good. So you have someplace to go in Orange County to see music outdoors.
Where and how many people does it hold?
They are announcing in the press conference sometime today. 11:30 a.m. is the press. Nope. Excuse me. 10:30 a.m. is the press conference today.
Okay.
Live Nation and the city will get together to talk about their new location. But it looks as if... The new location will be Great Park at the end of the historic runways of the former Marine Corps Air Station in El Toro. So there'll be a temporary outdoor amphitheater, a 12,000-seat outdoor venue to replace Irvine Meadows. And it'll be, it looks like, at El Toro. So we'll get to more after the official press conference today. But
that's good news.
Well, we do need a place to hold the weenie roast.
There you go. Maybe we'll all be in El Toro in the summer. Wait and see. The power's in you.
Can't see Ralph, but he's pointing.
Well, that's what he would do at the end of each important lesson. He'd teach you a lesson, and he'd point at you.
Sounds great.
It's awesome.
Nothing kids love more than learning about the environment.
You know what? You know what, Dusty Grandpa? There actually is a large movement amongst young people to actually save the planet.
Okay.
You might be surprised.
But how bummed are you if you're the kid that just had the heart power?
Yeah,
not wind awful. Or fire. I got heart.
He didn't have any of the good powers, any of the major elements. He was like, heart. Yeah, I keep believing.
Did you
That's really a power?
Did you just call Bean Dusty Grandpa?
Dusty Grandpa. No. That's his radio name.
I like it.
You're listening to all the classic music with Dusty Grandpa.
All the kids love the environment.
Oh, the kids love the environment, don't they?
Just saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm just saying, seriously, get checked up. Get some sort of scan.
It's pretty good advice.
Have them inject some dye because you need to be looked
at. A little
at.
Contrast.
Yeah, a little contrast.
Yeah.
Oh, I told you. I'm all right. Coming.
I'm all right. Well, I'm okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jean-Claude Van Damme. He is 56 years old today. Joey Bryant is 42 years old. Frida Pinto.
Yeah.
32 years old. Remember the Pinto? Remember the car, the Pinto, the Ford Pinto?
Yeah, didn't it explode or something?
Yeah, it would blow up.
Yeah.
If it got hit in the back, it would explode. That was a car. That was an adventure on wheels. Right there. You didn't know what your day was in store for you.
You're
when you
living
got
on
your
the
Pinto.
Edge.
That's right.
But that one.
Missed those good old days.
When your car could explode.
It might, but it might not.
At any moment.
You don't know. You know, the Zero Club would really be a great benefit because there wouldn't be as much gasoline to blow up if you were in the Zero Club.
It's true.
By the way, people who are joining our Zero Club, God bless you. It's,
oh, there's a lot of them.
What's that? I don't know.
Total surprise.
It's a movement.
It really is.
Yes. People upset that they can't get to zero on their cars because it just says low fuel or everything. I don't get a zero! It's very upset. Zac Efron, 29 years old today, and Tyler Posey turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's always a lot of fun. We have our next guest in the studio. It's been a while. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ralphie May steps in. Hey, Ralphie, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
Very good. We apologize that we couldn't get the chairs up and running. We are having a struggle with these chairs in the studio. In fact, we are hoping you will break all of them while you're here today so that we can insist on new ones. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. How you been? What's been going on? How's your summer and fall gone?
You know, it's fantastic. New jokes, new things, new adventures. Just got back from Montreal, the Montreal Comedy Festival, and they called me the breakout star of the whole festival. And it's so weird because like 15 years ago, that would have been like a $1 million check, and now it's a pat on the back and some meetings. You know what I mean? It's like, bum, 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 bum.
But how can you be the breakout star when you're so well known as a headliner?
27 years in comedy.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's Montreal. They're a little bit behind.
Okay. All right, the time difference to Canada.
The mullets.
I want to get this business out of the way first because is it true since the last time you were in that you literally saved a kid's life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. I was in Spokane and. Just so tired, like I hadn't slept. I had a new girlfriend, so I've been slinging D, and I was just worn out, tired.
Oh, you know, like you do.
No, but you know, I mean, I'm 44. She's 25. You know, it was like enough, man. It's like I'll stop.
I'm gonna
sleep. Yeah, okay. And I was waiting for an old timer with cheese from the Chili's. Okay, I purchased it and was waiting. And then this lady starts freaking out, yelling about her baby, and it doesn't know what to do. And people are coming up there, and they're slapping the baby on the back, which is the worst thing to do. Because what you do is you jar the food, and it goes further down the windpipe.
How do you know this?
I was a Boy Scout.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I go, look, I've been trained. Get away from me. Okay? And I took the baby, and... I got everything out of its mouth and
cleared his windpipe.
Yeah, Heimlinked him, and I brought him from blue to back.
Wow!
And I was like, that baby had a seizure because he's burning up, and I mean the baby was just it was so hot.
Wow!
And I got him ice on his neck and under his arms and on his chest and cooled him off, and I did all that, and then the paramedics showed up.
Are you a doctor?
No. I just knew what to do. I'm a daddy. I'm trained. That's, you know, when babies have fevers, they'll seize out. You know, they'll have a seizure, and that's what happened. And the baby was eaten, had a seizure, choked.
Wow.
Saved his life, and the family wrote me that he had strep, and they didn't know he had strep throat, and he was just super sick.
So he was totally fine after that? Everything was worked out?
Yeah. Did you get a free chili dog or whatever it was?
No, I had to pay for it.
You still had to pay?
Yeah,
that's
a
BS.
It's so funny because my fans took pictures and sent it to TMZs and stuff like that. And then all the newspapers and TV stations were wanting me to pull a Tebow and go there and promote myself. And
That's always a weird thing. That's always a weird thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's crazy. You're like, I saved the baby's life, but I would do it and I wouldn't expect anything for it. I didn't expect anything then.
Yeah, the good deed is its own reward in this
case.
You know what scares me about this is if I had been at that Spokane airport instead of you, I wouldn't have known what to do. And the tragedy you start thinking about, if nobody's around who knows how to properly make this thing happen with the Heimlich, That you
lose
that baby.
Yeah, that baby would have died.
Yeah, it's really terrifying that you have to. I mean, this family was just so lucky that there was somebody within the vicinity that could do it.
Well, there was like six people who did not know before I got there.
If Bean was there, he would have turned and ran.
Yeah,
I'm so
mad that that baby was causing commotion.
Oh, dear Lord.
Shut
baby.
Up,
well,
kid.
Well, it's choking, so it wasn't making a lot of noise.
Still
I mean,
enough for him.
Well, it was dripping in and out of consciousness, not making a lot of noise.
Now, were you? I know you know what to do, but were you nervous?
No, not
just
at all.
Just because if what you're doing fails.
You know, it's weird because that's like the ninth person I've saved.
What?
Yeah,
all right. This just got unbelievable.
You're a superhero.
We need a hero. We need a hero that is fat and white. I've saved in Houston. There was one in Fuquay M45 where an Apple towing truck sideswiped this little girl's car, and her car caught on fire, and I pulled her out of her car and held her neck. It was broken. And I held her neck, and she didn't regain full ability to walk, but instead of being a quadriplegic, she was only a paraplegic. And so she, you know, she thanked me. And I mean, it's
wow.
Like I've done cars, like six cars, and then like
what the hell,
choking
Ralphie?
People. I don't
Why
know.
Why are you causing all these accidents?
I like to right? think that I'm just that much bad luck.
That's
you
what,
know, I'm the kiss of death.
That's what I was going to think, because I was going back through my memory. I don't think I've ever even had a chance to save anyone.
Oh, man.
And you saved nine people.
Yeah, saved a guy from drowning. In Boy Scouts, I saved a kid who fell and broke his leg. And, I've seen a kid get stepped on by a bear, and the bear can't...
What the hell?
Film
Are you
on
making
scout-
stuff up?
Stepped on by a bear?
No, film on Scout Ranch in New Mexico. The kid had toothpaste in his backpack,
yeah.
And the bear stepped on the tent, and the bear's claws don't retract, and so it just it mauled him, and it just went, just took a chunk out of his thigh.
Wow.
So what did you do? Yeah. You dragged the kid away or something?
He did emergency surgery.
No. I went over, put a tourniquet on.
Pocket knife.
And
you punched the bear in the face? You take care of that,
no,
too?
No. The bear left, okay? We just heard him screaming, and we all came running, and the bear ran off, I guess. I don't know what happened to the bear.
Well, here's my takeaway from all of this. And we've had this conversation on the air before, and there are a lot of people who don't believe in karma, okay? Ralphie Mays in the Spokane Airport, and he saves a baby's life. The next thing you know, boom, he's got a 25-year-old sex machine for a girlfriend. That's how karma works, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, she was a model for Banana Republic. Oh, my God. I know. Good for me.
Good for you, my
Good
friend.
Good for me.
Ralphie May is here. We got a bunch of other stuff we want to talk about, but let's get in a plug for folks who can't
sure.
stick with us. You got a big night tonight. You're doing two things tonight, right?
Yes, I'm doing a benefit at the Comedy Store for Wounded Warriors, and then I'm doing one at the Improv for Native Americans. A reservation. It's called Rockin' the Res is the event, and it is raising money for propane for natives in North Dakota to let them survive the winter this year.
All right. Now, you're a celebrity, and I know how generous you are. You've been kind enough to do our April Foolishness show, so you don't mind giving up your time and your nights to you know, help people and raise money. But how far down on the list must propane for Indians in South Dakota be for you?
Well, you know,
He's doing it.
It's a lot of people don't understand what's going on with Native Americans. They don't know that they're the only group of Americans that can have, if you have medical devices or medical necessity for power and utilities, if you are just a regular American, the utility company can't shut it off if you're on life-giving machines. The only ones that can do that are the natives on the reservation.
Is that right?
Yeah, and you never hear about all the crimes that are committed on Native and Indigenous women and that never go even slightly, like less than 1% are even prosecuted. You know, I mean, you just hear about these horrendous things that go on, and it's just like, man, can we give a little bit back, killer? You know, it's like you live here in Southern California, and you never have to worry about it being that cold in the winter. You know, but these people are, I mean, every year, Indians, they don't, kind of like Mexicans, they don't let their old people go to homes. You know, white people shove their old people away, all right?
Right.
And natives keep them. But every year, people have to watch some people in their family die from the cold.
Wow.
And
gosh.
It's just horrible, you know? I mean, how can we do that to people?
Ralphie May can't stop saving lives, guys. That's what I mean, he's trying to, but he can't. All right, Comedy Store tonight at 8 o'clock with, by the way, a great lineup. Bobby Lee's going to be there, Joe Rogan and others. That's at the Comedy Store. And then the event for Rockin' the Rez is going to be tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are just $20 for this, by the way, and that's available at improv.com.
More other guests? Yes? At the Improv, we've got Dane Cook, Gerard Carmichael, Margaret Cho, myself. Wow. It is going to be an amazing, amazing show, and all the benefits go to help people go alive, stay alive.
Sounds
so
like
let your laughter help, folks.
Fun night, right? Ralphie May is here. We'll talk more right after this on K-Rock. Two chances to see the hilarious Ralphie May on stage tonight at the Comedy Store starting at 8 o'clock with people like Joe Rogan and Bobby Lee on the bill. And then Gerard Carmichael, Dane Cook, and so much more at the Rockin' the Rez fundraiser. That's going to be at the Hollywood Improv at 10 o'clock. Tickets on sale for that at improv.com. 18 and over, please. That is going to be a great night. Ralphie, we wouldn't let you talk about it off the air because you brought it up and we wanted to save it. But the clowns this summer.
Oh, so weird.
Are really a. I mean, it's really
so
like.
So creepy.
It's in like 20 states now. What's going on?
Right, let me just ask a question first. Has anyone been hurt?
Not yet.
No, I mean, love it. I love it.
Somebody tried to hire a clown to kill a teacher, but it didn't happen.
What?
Nobody got hurt.
Wow. I don't know. It's just creepy to me. You know, clowns hanging in the woods trying to get kids to come in. I mean, it's like...
Well, see, now it's better.
Yeah, right? There you go. And 40 people just got out of that little car. That's awesome.
That's not what fascinating to you? You don't like this?
No, it creeps me out. I'm very interested that you love it. I got to be honest with you. That sounds amazing. Like, there's some creepy reasoning in there that I want to hear about.
No, I don't love clowns necessarily, but I love the idea that people are seeing them. Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
People are seeing them.
I feel like Kevin's first sexual experience must have been with a clown, and it's all a good memory for him.
Hey, how hard is it to get that makeup out of your crotch on the jeans? Well, you got to rub the fabric together.
Ralphie, what do you think is going on with it, though? Like, what's the, I mean, why, how did it
spring up? Bored white people?
You think
that's,
so?
Yeah, man. That's
but
that
who,
breaks
who
up.
Comes up with that idea? Goes, you know what? I got nothing to do today. I think I'm going to put on a clown suit and go hang out in the woods.
I think first I would go juggalos. They're very clowny,
right,
and
right.
They're kind of they like creeping people out, and I like that about them. It's kind of funny, but I just think it's just bored white people. I mean, all that's right. All I can think.
I wonder how it's going to end. I wonder if it's just going to kind of fade away, or if something bad's going to happen. I can't figure this one out. It's so mysterious.
I think it's going to end in like a series of really bad movies in like 8 and 9 months. Okay, there'll be a
if that's the worst that happens.
Clowny time. It's the Clowny Time Horror Show. Clowny Time.
Ralphie May is here. We mentioned the shows tonight. You're doing something called the White Trash Christmas Show for the holidays this year.
Yeah.
Are you a person who remembers a lot about your childhood growing up?
Oh, man. Especially when it comes around Christmas. That was like, because I was white trash, that was like the one time where we get like free stuff, you know? It was like the big payday. And so you had to bust your ass to make sure you were a good kid. And when you fell victim to my mom being laid off after Thanksgiving from her two jobs, like a convenience store and working for a pulp company. And so after she paid all the bills, she had like $30 left. And I had blown out my kangaroo shoes. They were so cool. They were a burgundy Velcro kangaroo shoes. And about all those run stops, that they wore the soles out of the shoes, so I had basically high top flip flops. Okay, and then I duct taped my the stuff together on my shoes because I wanted, and then people said I had robot feet, so it was just miserable. All I wanted was a pair of Adidas to make up for it, have a good pair of shoes, And man, I got the Adidas with the extra stripe. Okay, that was okay from the plastic ones.
They were $11.99.
Yeah. And I threw a fit. I threw the shoes into the Christmas tree, knocked it over, flipped out, and I was screaming, Santa, you fat bastard, okay, how dare you? Oh, you ate the cookie, didn't you, you son of a bitch? You knew exactly what I'd written him like 30 pieces of correspondence trying to make this happen.
But
okay?
Your mom was just doing the best she could.
I look up, my mom's crying.
And this is the saddest story I've ever heard.
And then she tells me about, how Santa Claus is not real. Okay.
That's when you found out?
Yeah, right there. Wow. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Then who is that fat old guy you sent me on at the mall? What's with the, everybody's a liar. Okay. The news was lying. They had radar of Santa Claus. That's why I had to go to bed at 6 o'clock. They're liars. The news is lying to you.
Sure.
All these people are just liars.
Your whole world fell apart.
Yeah.
My
whole world fell apart. I lost Santa Claus and Jesus within 2 minutes of each other because this is how smart I was. I was like, wait a minute, Mama. You're telling me that there's a invisible guy that lives up in a magical place, and if you're good, he brings you things, and he's not real, okay? But there is another guy who lives in an invisible place, and if you're really good, he brings you other things, and that guy is real. And my mama was like, yes, that's true. And I'm like, I think you're kind of, not for nothing. You've just been lying to me the whole time. And then she's like, well, ask the preacher. And I'm like, who, that lying bastard who said, I hope Santa Claus brings me everything I want? That liar? Okay, no, I ain't talking to him. All right? And that's, I just lost everything.
I feel like your mom was sort of piling on.
Yeah, a little bit.
You lost the shoes. You lost the Christmas tree.
I know.
You lost Santa.
So funny. But that's what a comedian's life is. None of us are made of silk. We're all cut from tater cloth. That's how it is.
I can honestly say that's an expression I've never heard before.
Well, you get it, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think this white trash Christmas tour is going to be good for you, Ralphie. I think it's going to be good
man,
for you to get this
so
off your
fun.
Chest.
I mean, it's all been, Lord, we've got, I'm in 25 states in 32 days.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's a lot of opportunities to save choking babies in airports. Man.
I know. Doing my part, brother.
You're
doing
be busy.
My part.
All right.
Somebody's
got
to save them.
RalphieMade.com is where you want to go for all the tour dates and all the information. And don't forget, tonight at the Comedy Store, you can buy those tickets. All that info, again, on the website, RalphieMade.com. And then at the Hollywood Improv with a great all-star lineup tonight at 10 o'clock, improv.com. That's the Rock and the Rez fundraiser.
We just got this added to the Tonight Show. Along the top of myself, Margaret Cho, Gerard Carmichael, Dane Cook, Eliza Schlesinger just volunteered to help us out.
So she's
Eliza's
the best.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and is having so much success on Netflix. I'm really proud of my friends.
Yep.
It's so nice to see them just explode and let the world love them.
Ralphie, you're one of the good ones, man. Thanks so much for coming.
I love
really
you guys. Thank you for having
always.
Me.
All right, quick break, and then we come back with your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is where you dial us up on any topic. Something's on your mind, something you want us to know about, something we should be talking about, but we're not. You got questions, you got comments, you got complaints. It's your time. 1-800-520-106. And we'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Writer, producer, director, actor, David Mandel joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. He's also the showrunner for the best comedy on TV called Veep, and he's a crazy Star Wars collector, Allie.
I love it so much.
I think you guys are going to be very much in love after he gets in here. That's all coming up. First, though, 1-800-520-106. Have a time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-106.
What's good indeed? Let's start with some very important and serious business with Jamie, please, on line 3. She's in Huntington Beach and she needs our help immediately.
All right. Hey, Jamie.
Yeah.
What did we do?
What's good?
Well, Ralphie, I just had to have a conversation with my daughter about Santa Claus.
Oh, you mean Ralphie's joking about that? Where he was not saying something that was clearly not true? About Santa?
Jamie?
Oh, our entire phone bank just went dead.
Oh, everybody died.
Thanks. Okay. I'm not sure.
Huh.
Hey, our phones died.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Okay.
All right, so Jamie, if you're listening.
All right, I think they're all back up. Let me try.
And particularly
hello?
There you are.
Oh,
there she is. You're back. I'm sorry. We had some phone trouble there.
Yeah.
You hear us okay?
Sorry about that.
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you were saying when Ralphie was joking about there being no Santa, you were afraid what?
That my daughter was staring at me while I was driving her to school.
Oh. Look, he's a comedian. Right? He jokes about everything. And clearly there's a Santa Claus and he knows it. He's just making funny.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I just want to make sure that that's clear for all the kids out there. Of course there's a Santa Claus.
Yes.
All right.
Can't wait for Santa Carl.
Right?
Yeah.
Same, Santa Carl as well.
Best time of the year.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. I don't have the phone screener anymore, Kevin, but let's go to line one, because if I recall correctly, that's a call about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announcement.
Yes. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Mike.
Hi, Mike. What's good?
Howdy. Yeah, what's good? Pro Jam's nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year, as is Tupac.
As is my favorite band, Depeche Mode.
As is Electric Orchestra.
As is Kraftwerk.
As is Joan Baez.
As is Journey.
As is Harvey Danger.
Nope.
Harvey Danger did not make the cut this year.
That one did not.
No, that one did not.
Here's what's going on, is that today is the day that they announced the balloting, basically, for the, I think, 19 acts, I want to say, and now it's going to be voted down to a more manageable number that will actually be inducted next year. I don't think there's any doubt in a million years that Pearl Jam gets in on the first ballot, though,
no
right?
Question.
I mean, they're a home run, for sure. What about Tupac, you guys? You put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I would.
Yeah.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
I think I would, too.
I think so.
And Depeche Mode, though. Come on, guys. Yeah. Who's with me?
Easy.
We didn't mention Janet Jackson's on there, so she may be one of the finalists.
Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I mean, look, that's the thing. I mean, when you get to this point, when you're nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you've got a body of work. You've got a career. Your first record was at least 25 years ago, and people have had their time to make up their opinion about you. So we'll see who gets in. But thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. All right, who do you want next here, Kevin?
All right, let's go to let's go to Lindsay in Huntington Beach. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are good. What's good with you?
What's good is that segment you did with Beer Mug on getting fat for your wedding.
Yes. Kevin's life hack.
Yes, I love it.
It's the most brilliant thing Kevin's ever come up with.
Right?
Yeah. See, because I look back at my wedding pictures and I think, damn, I look so much better now.
Boom! That's what you want!
That's what I've been saying!
Kevin has been saying for 20 years, if you look great in your wedding photo, the only thing that happens is for the rest of your life, you disappoint people in person when they see you because you don't look as good as the photo.
Yeah,
They
look at the photo, and then they look at you, and they go, well, she's let herself go.
Right.
Exactly.
But if you let yourself go for the wedding photo, then you get compliments for life.
Exactly. All my pictures now look great.
I'm a genius.
So you're calling basically to support Kevin for his life hack?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
She doesn't want to get all in on Kevin. It would make her look bad. Thank you for the call, Lindsay. Appreciate that. Let's go to Rebecca. She's on line four. She's in Las Vegas. Now, generally, I am not a fan of people doing GoFundMes for personal reasons, but I think she's got an interesting angle that I will allow. Rebecca, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hi. What's good is that my husband and I are trying to adopt an embryo. And a lot of people don't know really what that is, so I was just wondering if I could explain that.
Sure. Yeah, what is adopting an embryo? Wouldn't an actual full-size kid be more fun?
Yes, I would love to have a full-size kid, but that costs way more, and my heart has always been for adoption. But to get a baby, that would be like $30,000.
Ouch, wow. And how much is an embryo?
An embryo is only $8,000.
Okay.
So we're looking to get some funds for that, and we actually are looking for the highest donation to help us name our child.
Okay, now we're in business. What kind of restrictions are you putting on naming your child? Because I am intrigued and tempted already.
First or first and last?
It would be the middle name.
Boo. Sit down.
But, you know, if it was, like, someone's family member and it was their first name and it's appropriate, we definitely choose that. But if they have something like Batman Chalupa, we could do the middle name.
How much would I have to donate to name your kid?
Count Smokey Love.
Yeah, Count
Smokey
Love for the middle name. We would go for that.
Count Smokey Love.
So, I need it to happen.
Lots of crazy names when I'm a teacher. We look at our roster and we see all these crazy names. So it'll be interesting when people get my child and they see, you know,
Count Smokula, right?
Sure. All right, Rebecca, how can people find your GoFundMe if they're interested in finding out more or participating?
Sure. It is GoFundMe.com/name_kit. So namer kit.
Kit? Are you saying kit with a T?
No, with a D.
D, okay, good.
Oh, kid. Okay,
I heard kid, too.
I heard kid. All right, very
name
good.
Name our kid.
I hope one of our listeners comes through for you. Thank you so much for calling. Let's just do one more because it's Aldo, and he's on line 8, and he's calling about something that everybody in the building is buzzing about this morning anyway.
Aldo, hi.
Morning, party people.
Morning.
How's it going?
Good. What's good?
Oh, my God. That Green Day concert last night was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, everybody that went is raving.
I'm not a big Green Day fan. My girlfriend, she's the huge fan, so she brought me along. And, oh, my God, that was one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Chip was saying they played for about 2.5 hours. It was like 30 Green Day songs. You couldn't think of a song you wanted to hear that they didn't do, and you'd never guess that they had taken 4 years off the road, right?
No, yeah, they performed everything in their catalog. I mean, old stuff. Stuff before I was even born, and it was awesome. It was absolutely incredible.
Well, I'm glad you called. They are a great live band, and I want to just put in a plug for folks who missed it or just love Green Day and want to see more. They are going to be here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space, and that's going to be streaming through krock.com tomorrow afternoon. That's at 4 o'clock. Appreciate it, Aldo. This has been What's Good. What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
That sounds like it's Ralph Garman time with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to make a quick correction. After the last Showbiz Beat, we were talking about the magic, the power, the majesty that is Captain Planet and the Planeteers. One of my favorite cartoons from the 90s, which is being made into a live-action motion picture co-produced by Leonardo DiCaprio. Come on, Leo, put on the green wig. You know you want to. You'd be the best Captain Planet. Anyway, so we were talking about his catchphrase, and I had a faded memory for a moment. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. The power is in you, or the power is you. Or I couldn't come up with it. And of course, now we've realized that it is, in fact,
the power is yours.
The power is yours. But there was a lot of pointing going on. I'm just telling you at the end.
The power is yours.
So to those Planeteers who are calling in, tweeting in, texting in, sending telegrams. Singing telegrams,
driving down,
painting it on the side of the building. I feel your frustration. I apologize, but now we have corrected that, so we can all move forward, hopefully,
Ralph, in a
better day.
You mentioned that was Tom Cruise doing the voice of Captain Planet.
Initially, he was supposed to do it the first season, but apparently he backed out. Finding after the fact. He had signed to do it. Ted Turner did it through TBS, and
Ted Turner was the voice?
No, Ted Turner was the guy, the producer.
Oh.
And he was going to do it on TNT and TBS, and Tom was very much a part of the eco-friendly movement at the time and had agreed to do it, so they actually made the character look like him. And then I found out after the fact it's sort of a urban legend that he actually did the voice because he backed out at the last moment and never did the voice.
Ah.
But there, I'd always heard the urban legend that he was the voice of the...
So everything about your story was a lie.
For the first season, but it was not, in fact...
You're a spreader of lies.
Essentially, the entire thing was fabricated. There may or may not have even been a Captain Planet.
There was, and if you wanted to see a live-action Captain Planet, go to the Funny or Die videos featuring Don Cheadle as Captain Planet. They did a whole series of episodes of Don Cheadle as Captain Planet, who takes things a little bit too far. He starts turning people into trees and stuff. He really starts protecting the planet. It's very, very
strange. The power is yours.
The power is, in fact, yours. Speaking of the power is yours, you have the power to save lives. The power is yours. If you give blood. So what we're asking you to do is come down to Universal Studios Hollywood this Friday. for K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive. I will be down there from 5 a.m. till the end of the show at 10 p.m. And then I don't know if there's any other jocks going to be down there. Is Kat going to go down there or anything else? Or is it just me? Am I the only one, who cares about people? Am I the only one who gives a rat's ass about people?
I think that's it.
Is that
yeah.
what it is?
You're the only one.
It's just me?
Probably you're the... Yeah.
Yeah, it's just me. Kevin Bean don't care. Allie doesn't care.
Not at all.
Kat Corby doesn't care.
Stryker hates people.
Megan Holliday doesn't care.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just
Rodney Bingenheimer doesn't care.
You're the only person that cares. Yeah.
So, come on, Dev, give blood. And also, as well, Tom Bien, we're giving away some free stuff down there. Lots of prizes and things. Tickets to some very cool concert events like Danny Elfman's Halloween, Festival Supreme, Panic at the Disco, Bad Religion, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. And a lot of cool prizes, but more importantly, doing the right thing by giving blood and saving some lives. So why don't you do that? Come on down. You don't need to sign up or register or anything. Just come on down 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Friday, and make sure you park in the Frankenstein Garage, because then parking is free. So it's a cool event. We do it every year, the K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive, this Friday at Universal Studios.
You just turned it into a bloodbath.
Right? That's what I'd do. President Obama, I miss him already.
He's still president.
He's still running the country. He's still.
I miss him. Feels like he's gone.
I feel like nobody cares about what he says anymore.
I do.
Lame duck.
I feel like not even he does, though.
You know who else cares?
Wouldn't it be awesome to be the president with a couple of months left and you've done all your work?
I don't think you've been watching his speeches lately, because I think he cares more now about what he's saying than he ever has.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he's just laying it out there. There's no political damage that he has to be afraid of anymore. He can actually speak his mind. And he seems much more comfortable and much more direct now than he's been in perhaps his entire presidency.
All right.
But you know who else cares about what he has to say? Stephen Colbert, who got together with the president and sat him down and made him realize, look, you're out of job in a couple months. You're going to need to dust off your resume, get your interview skills back up. It's been 8 years since you've been on a job interview. And so he sat down with him and said, I will teach you. I will help groom your skills in a job interview. We'll do a little role play acting in a job interview situation. I will ask you some questions. You need to respond to me. Bring me your resume. So they sat down on the Stephen Colbert show, and this is what happened.
So tell me why you're leaving. You say you're not being terminated, but it sounds like you can't stay. Is that true?
Well, I'm leaving because it's required by the 22nd Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Okay, little tip. When you say staying at your job would be unconstitutional, what employers hear is that you stole office supplies. Okay, so I'd goose over the rest of that, okay?
Okay.
And it doesn't say here, where were you born?
Really?
Is this the longest form of this resume available?
Well, we move on.
Okay, good.
Yeah, why don't I move on to the next question? So much fun having a president.
For now.
By the way, he's a young man. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do for the next 30 years of his life?
What's he, 55, I think?
About that, yeah.
Don't most presidents just go on the speaking tour and just rake,
just
in the
rake
dough?
It in?
I feel like he's going to be different.
Do you?
And I feel like we will see him doing something with sports. I'm putting it out there.
Something with sports.
He's such a huge sports fan.
This is based on...
He's a huge sports fan.
Right.
He loves talking about sports, maybe guest analyst, something like that.
Putting
it out there.
That's never going to happen in a million years.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think? He's going to take a job on ESPN? Is that what you're thinking?
Wrong.
Sure.
He's going to team up with Colin Cowherd?
He's on Fox Sports now. I'm just saying.
Okay. What a rich fantasy life you have.
It's fantastic.
Very entertaining.
Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthday, Jean-Claude Van Damme is 56 years old today. Joy Bryant celebrates her 42nd birthday. Frida Pinto is 32. Got an email from somebody stolen a Pinto, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah. We talked about the Ford Pinto last hour, and someone told me they still have one.
It was a car from, like, 50 years ago that used to just burst into flames when you started it, I think.
I don't
remember all the
details.
That was
the actual...
I
don't think it was 50 years. I don't think it burst into flames when you started it.
I'm pretty sure.
I think you're a little shaky on the details.
When you close the door, boom!
Remember the Fiero? Pontiac Fiero?
No.
Fiero!
No.
Oh, the Fiero!
You can keep yelling it.
Keep yelling. He'll eventually...
How do you
agree?
Not remember the Fiero?
How do I answer that? I just don't.
Another car that would burst into flames.
Hot chicks drove Fieros.
And Fiero!
Right.
Definition of the word in Espanol?
On fire.
Right. Fire.
Hmm.
Right?
So they were asking for it.
That
was the best. I remember it well.
So why don't they make the new Dodge Flambe? Why don't they just make that car? You're asking for trouble.
I'd get it. I do love fire.
Zac Efron's 29 years old today.
Oh, my gosh. Zac Efron is so beautiful.
And Tyler Posey of Teen Wolf fame celebrates his 25th today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, David Mandel in studio. He is an acclaimed and award-winning writer, producer, director, actor, and also, we just found out, a huge Star Wars geek. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Mandel to the show. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
Good. I feel like it's a Veep week. We had your friend, actor Tim Simons in yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that at all.
So
we
spent a ton of time gushing over the funniest show on TV, and you are the showrunner and executive producer of Veep, which must be an astonishingly difficult job.
It's a wild one. It's a wild one, and it's sort of doubly wild, and you guys probably know this. You know, I'm not the creator. Armando Iannucci was the creator of the show, and he did the first four seasons and then sort of decided to move on, and I was just a guy sort of at home. Obviously, I'm a television writer, but I was a guy sitting at home enjoying the show when the phone rang, and it was like, do you want to take over Veep, which sort of... You know, like some kind of like advanced Olympic diving, I think, did add to the level of difficulty, as they say. So yeah,
the show was so great for those four seasons. I can't imagine you weren't scared to death of that.
I was scared to death, and yet at the same time, there's that writer ego of like, you know, well, and he had left it in this at the time, which is one season ago. He had left it in this very elaborate electoral college tie,
right?
And that sort of. That cliffhanger, that corner that he had sort of written the show into, I think is what gave me the courage to take the gig, because I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And my head started spinning like, you could do this and you could do this and you could do this. And then it was like, oh, I guess I kind of have to take the job. and also, there's sort of an unwritten rule in Hollywood, which is like, I think like, I mean, obviously that cast across the board is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, when Julia Louis-Dreyfus calls you for anything, you just sort of
you just do it.
And
she
you
runs
just sort
Hollywood,
of go back.
Doesn't she?
She should.
She doesn't. She should. Yeah, exactly.
Now, with the degree of difficulty, does that mean your Emmy is worth more than Armando's Emmy is?
I think
it's a little bit, right?
Well,
a little bit,
you know.
It's a little extra value. That's all I'm saying. A little more gold.
I'm now, just saying it came more naturally to him. Yeah.
you brought up Julia, who you go back many, many, many years working with her on the Seinfeld show and Saturday Night Live even before that, right?
Yeah, I always liked Julia sort of ruined most actresses for me. A million years ago, I used to work with two guys, Jeff Schaefer, who did The League, you guys may know, and Alec Berg, who does Silicon Valley right now. Mm-hmm. And we did a little movie called Eurotrip, which a lot of like teen nudity and all that kind of stuff. And our actress on that little movie was Michelle Trachtenberg, who'd been on Buffy and all those shows.
Sure.
And there were moments in there. There was one moment where she was sort of getting, I can't remember, it was like fake high. They thought they were high in Amsterdam, but they weren't high. And she goes and runs over to sort of the other table and steals their French fries, but kind of leaves some. And I remember doing that with her and just kind of like, it was sort of like, this is how Julia Louis-Dreyfus would do this. You know what I mean? It was
really?
Sort of like,
that's
how you sort of, you teach the young and you sort of show them things. Yeah,
right.
Just like, this is the highest standard I can think of. This is how Julia would do it. And then you sort of try and sort of show them. And she just sort of ruins everybody for you, because rarely do you get sort of just all of that comedy, but also all of that great acting and then all the other stuff in sort of the single package.
The key really is the reality she brings to any given comic situation that immediately grounds it and makes you buy in 100%.
It's insane. And what it does for as writers is you just start thinking of, well, what else can we sort of dump on her? What else where can we put her? What situation
Another
can we
kid.
Put her in?
Need to add a kid.
You know what's
when
funny,
doubt,
David?
Add a kid.
This won't surprise
it's
you.
It's an Oliver rule.
I think they may take the Emmy away. Anyway.
This won't surprise you because you've been around it for so long working with Julia, but you know, we've had in a bunch of cast members from Veep. You know, Tony's been in and Anna's been on and Gary Cole and Reed Scott's been on it. And all of them, they understand that she's their co-star. But they're so in awe of just watching her work that it's a miracle that they remember their own lines and how to react, because it's so much fun to watch her.
Well, the amazing thing, and you know, I've never really talked to them about this, but a lot of those guys, some of them, this was their first job or their first big job, which I can only imagine must have just been sort of startling. I mean, I think Tim had been doing like, I think, like, Abraham Lincoln commercials. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, he's on Veep. And I think he may have told you guys.
What's Abe Lincoln selling?
Yeah, yeah, no, it was, you know,
there
it was
are commercials
cars
for Abraham
or
Lincoln.
Something. Yeah. Cars, something.
Like a weird push.
But that's how good he was.
I just think it's time for people to buy into this idea that slavery's okay. bad. So I think they're going to. I think it's time.
Hey, also
yeah.
hats. I think we're selling tall hats, too.
It was a two for one.
But the, yeah, but
free your slave, get a hat.
Get a top yeah. hat.
But
yeah.
the beautiful thing about that show is the writers don't waste anybody. So every single one of those people had something really good to do.
We really, sometimes I laugh when we sit around the writer's room, and I almost think it's like almost like we're almost like our own little like sort of Simpsons, where we've, the world, even from beyond the Armando years, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we'll just go, okay, we need a congressman. Well, which of our congressmen? We've got seven of them. And it's like, let's bring this guy in. And we bring them back without going, let us remind you who it is. We're going to just bring them back, and, you know, we hope our audience is dedicated enough to go, oh, my God, it's that guy again, and not have right. to be spoon-fed it, which is a really nice thing, by the way, also about our audience, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I forgive me if this is a no, wearying no. question, because I'm sure you get it a lot, especially in the year of a real presidential
election. Is this the tea question?
Yeah, this yeah. is going to be the tea question. And I think I know the answer, which is that you're living in a completely different political reality than we are in the real world.
Well, thank God, yeah. We're in sort of an alternate future, which we like to sort of joke about. It's, I think we've, there's Carter. And I think there's Reagan that we've mentioned. And then at some point or another, you start getting, you know, President Stevenson and President Hughes and sort of things. And we've tried to figure out, like...
So Bill Clinton doesn't exist in Veep.
Bill Clinton doesn't exist, but the World Trade Center was knocked down. So, like, it's a very sort
wow.
of strange feud, okay. like, sort of weird amalgam of history.
But it was President Eric Estrada's fault in your world.
No, weirdly, it was President Mohammed Atta. He was the president, and somebody else brought the towers.
That is a weird reality.
Weird, very
wow,
weird reality.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's Earth 2 stuff right there.
But, no, so it's this weird kind of thing. So Trump doesn't exist, and obviously everyone, you know, what about Trump, what about Trump? And it's funny, we sort of tried to ignore it for the most part, and then inadvertently, I actually think with Tim last year when he ran for Congress,
yeah.
sort of a thin-skinned idiot running for an office, that was our Trump in some weird way, although we did not set out to do Trump. And in a weird way, I could not be happier that in coming into our next season, I hope I'm not ruining anything, you know, in our previous season, she lost the presidency, and so she is no longer president, and we're going to be dealing a lot with her sort of post-presidency, which will correspond with the Obamas leaving office and a lot of that kind of stuff, which I think will come back into the forefront of the world in kind of an interesting way. But I'm very happy to not be doing an election, because there's nothing that I could write. I mean, I'll tell you actually an interesting story. We had written a scene the other day that we were shooting about a guy getting picked up for a DWI. And in it, there's a female police officer, and he sort of gets kind of a little bit handsy and a little bit sort of verbally abusive, and uses the P word. I don't know what I can say or not say on regular
radio. Best to not use that.
Right there.
Unless you're running for president.
The P word that we are now all very familiar yes. with yes. from the Trump years. And we had written this scene, I kid you not, 4 months ago, maybe 3 months ago at the latest. Scene goes in the garbage because
you
all
said,
of a sudden,
you go, whoa, come oh, on.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was like... And the actor, who is not one, was not one of our regulars, was sort of like, he was confused because he's going, did you guys write this because of the Trump thing? And it was like, we didn't write it because of the Trump thing, and now we're throwing it out because of the Trump
wow.
thing.
Wow.
So it seems like you're chasing it.
It yeah. makes it really difficult because it's sort of... It's almost like they're doing like a bad sitcom about politics, and we're trying to do the good sitcom about
right,
politics.
Yeah.
And you sort of never want to do a similar story that the bad sitcom is doing. We used to go through that on Seinfeld a lot, where when people started ripping Seinfeld off a lot, and you'd go, "Oh crap!" We had an idea once for George's dad was going to be. He was going to get medicinal marijuana for cataracts, and it was a whole to do. And then like two other shows did something like that, and you just go, "You know what? We'd do it better, but you know what? We're just going to
That makes it
we're
so
gonna
much
let it
more
go
difficult.
Away. Yeah.
Because you have to throw away great ideas.
Well, that's what especially in those I was on the back end of Seinfeld those last three seasons, and that's when you really started to see even the shows that weren't necessarily four guys in a New York apartment, but other shows just started adopting that sort
yeah, the
of
comedy
Larry
just
and
spread,
Jerry,
yeah.
yeah, kind of Seinfeld structure, Seinfeld story.
That's what happens
yeah.
anytime anything is great.
Yeah.
Anytime something's great, then all of a sudden you get all the people that are copying.
And if you want to be the great thing, you have to have that discipline to just go, you know what, we're going to put this in the garbage because they've unfortunately ruined it.
And it's a bad time to have it happen, too, towards the end of a run of a show when a lot of the ideas have been burned through.
Well, that's the other thing is you're starting going, oh, my God, how are we going to come up with these ideas? Between what we've done and now what they're doing, how do you come up with the ideas?
Right.
And by the way, not to jump around into a thousand places. I think that's also one of the reasons Larry David on Curb, you know, which I was lucky enough to work on for a couple of years also, like where he sometimes would kind of go, we're going to take a little time to kind of refill the notebook, if you will, as opposed to we have to do another season right now. What are our ideas? It's taking the time to go, we'll do the show when we have a...
Go out and live a little life. And
live
come
some
by
life,
some
get
ideas.
Into some weird experiences, and then fill up the notebook and kind of come back.
Although I'm not thrilled with the spring of 2017. I'm not thrilled with
Kevin,
that.
Kevin wants all of his shows on all of the time.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but it'll be worth the wait.
Yeah. Right? I'm sure it will be.
So, all right, we have to take a pause right here.
Can we talk geek, please?
Yes, we're going to talk
geek. I want to talk geek.
This is the problem when you have a guest like Mr. Mandel. It is we could spend the whole day talking about Seinfeld, or the whole day talking about Veep, or talking about Curb, or talking about all the other things he's done. But the reason he's here is because he's got a book out now about Star Wars, and it's coming from a different angle that I think Ralph's head's going to explode. This is so great.
It's the best.
And I think Ali is going to propose to you before you leave today. Because,
hey, I might.
Because of this book.
I think he's
so,
taken.
A quick break. We're with our guest David Mandel when we return. Turn on K-Rock. All right. Our guest is David Mandel in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have just scratched the surface on his marvelous career with so many great television shows, but that's not why he's here today. Ralph, you came to us and pitched David. Why?
Because he, like myself, is a supreme geek. He is a nerd extraordinaire, and he loves comic books and science fiction, and he is in the midst of he just released a book that is for those of us who are hardcore Star Wars fans. The unsung hero, really, of the Star Wars universe is a guy named Ralph McQuarrie. And a lot of people don't know who he is or what he contributed to this world. He, along with George Lucas, kind of created this realm, but a lot of people don't know about his work. And now David is one of the authors of a giant coffee table art book featuring the art, the sketches, the actual artwork of Ralph McQuarrie and his work with the Star Wars universe. And it's a remarkable book. It is comically heavy. We were just talking about the fact that it's a massive book filled with beautiful reproductions and pages of all his amazing artwork. But talk a little bit, David, if you will, about Ralph McQuarrie and his role in the Star Wars universe.
Ralph McQuarrie was an illustrator. He'd actually worked at Boeing in out west and up in Seattle, I guess.
Yeah.
And he had done like airplane illustrations, mechanical illustrations, you know, airplanes of the future, those kinds of things, product stuff. And he'd done some work for CBS illustrating some of the NASA things that were going on at the time. And so he came to Star Wars and movie work with this sort of real-world mechanical background. And he had worked with some guys on a movie, and then George Lucas knew those guys and got together with him. And George, you know, liked what he saw and started sort of working Ralph on these different sort of paintings to kind of help explain to people what Star Wars was, what it could be. And from the earliest paintings, and it's just this wonderful synthesis of these two guys and a lot of their other influences out there, but I think what Ralph brought to Star Wars was sort of that sense when you saw it, it wasn't that clean, shiny, sort of like flying saucers and stuff. It was things like the way the land speeder looked, as much, even though it was futuristic and it floated, at the same time there was a sense of it worked.
Yeah,
and
practicality
I think that, yeah,
about
he
it.
Brought that sort of, these things could work. These things are real. These things are like our world, but not exactly. That I think brought a familiarity to the Star Wars universe and I think helped make it what it was. And there were obviously lots of other guys, wonderful, talented guys like Joe Johnson and all the other future ILM guys that worked on all of these things. But Ralph was right there at the beginning with George Lucas and really, I think, helped define what Star Wars was. And so,
and as you mentioned, a lot of his stuff was kind of like marketing materials where it would be a visual representation of what Lucas was imagining so that
that's
Lucas
what some
could
of
tell
those,
people this was
those
what the movie was going
to
be
early paintings
like.
Were trying to sort of almost like grab a moment. I mean, it was almost as much, it was for the people working on the movie, it was for executives, it was for everybody, but
right.
It could just kind of show like this is a moment from the movie. And it really was a sales tool also, because when you looked at those things, you went, that's that's cool. And we interviewed lots of guys like Ben Burtt, who was the guy behind all the sound effects on Star Wars and all the sounds of R2 and Chewbacca. And he talks about his first meeting and seeing these paintings and seeing, like, the first lightsaber and just going, I know what that sounds like. I have to take this job. And so just this amazing guy. And as I've been a fan for obviously a gazillion years and a collector, and the opportunity kind of came along to do this book with some friends of mine, Brandon Allinger and Wade LaJose, and we just jumped at it to sort of make the book that we wanted to buy, like the sort of uber nerdy Star Wars book.
And what's fascinating is to see, you know, now these images are so iconic. We all know exactly what C-3PO looks like. But you see the various incarnations leading up to the final version.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's amazing to me to see the sketches.
You can see that they were influenced early on by Metropolis, the Maria robot. So C-3PO early on looks more like sort of a female robot and sort of looks very much like it. And what's fascinating is to see, I know there's one of those statements about like all great artists steal a little bit or something. Mm-hmm. You can see them taking these influences and then slowly making it into something else. And what they made it into was Star Wars. And it's just really fascinating to watch the progression.
Yeah. I find the same way about Darth Vader. When you see the early character drawings of Vader, it's much more sort of sleek and almost surreal, almost reptilian, and then it becomes this very much industrial sort of character as it progresses along.
And the other fascinating thing about him, Ralph, was, you know, again, this is the early days, not the early days of movie making, but it was just a different time in movie making. So he's doing these things, and some of this is leading into costume design, some of it's leading into set design. He did posters, he did advertisements, he did Christmas cards for Lucas. He was just, you know, it was a weird kind of time where they had this incredible guy sort of sitting there, and they just storyboards, matte paintings. That's how talented he was. And these
why was everything saved back at the time? Because they certainly didn't know that they were making the legend that was Star Wars.
They definitely didn't, and there were probably some things lost along the way, you know, little pencils. And we, by the way, did a pretty decent job, I think, of tracking down things that ended up in other people's collections, my own collection included. That was easier to track down, to try and really make the book complete.
It's comprehensive. I mean, but, because from pencil sketches all the way through to the finished paintings.
Which, again, when you get to track those things. But, you know, I think in some ways, you know, George Lucas was ahead of his time, not necessarily knowing that this book would exist, but sort of in sort of building his archives and keeping this stuff, he somehow knew it was important. And that, thank God.
How did you get access to all of the material? Because, as we mentioned, it's a giant two-volume set, and it's hundreds of pages.
800 pages, 2,000 illustrations. It's amazing.
Did you have access to Lucas's
archives? Yeah, we got to go. You know, the best part of this thing, if the book doesn't sell, you know, three copies, is we got to go up and stay at the Lucas Ranch in the cool Lucas Hotel that they have on the ranch.
That's
and then
cool.
Go into the archives every day. The wonderful archivists up there, just they're so wonderful, and they were so helpful to us. And we dug in and really, you know, got to go through everything. Plus, while you're sitting there going through the Macquarie art, like, you turn your head and there's, like, you know, like ships. You know, there's an AT-AT. So all the models are sitting there, too.
There.
So it's all sitting there. So it was sort of like the greatest research library you've ever been in, because it's like in front of you is the Ralph Macquarie art, and to the left of you are lightsabers.
Why
and
every is now there and no then Star Wars Museum,
you get to pick
David?
Them up. Well, he's building that Lucas Museum, which I guess will have a Star Wars, I guess, piece
That's
to
what
it.
I heard.
But it's like a museum of storytelling. But and they have those traveling exhibits. But I mean, I could spend the rest of my life in that
archive.
Did
George Lucas
around.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say is, did George Lucas ever say, all right, listen, you've been here for months.
What's time to go, buddy? Where's this book? We never got that. You know, maybe in a way him doing the introduction for the book was the hint to, all right, let's get this thing out.
But
it was really cool, though. I will say that you know, and again, I'm not privy to all the inside Lucasfilm publishing stuff, but I did feel like because George did do the introduction for the book and did sort of answer some of our questions, albeit, you know, by email, this was important to him, and Ralph was important to him on some level, which I thought was really, really cool.
The book, if you're looking for it, is called Star Wars Art, Ralph Macquarie, and as we mentioned, it is the comprehensive look at a great piece of history about the Star Wars universe. If you are a fan and you may not be familiar with Ralph Macquarie's work and his influence and how he helped bring this whole world to life along with George Lucas, it is an absolute must-have if you're a Star Wars fan.
You can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, online or in stores or wherever books are sold. world. And the world's greatest Christmas gift, Allie, what do you think?
Best ever.
Best ever?
Christmas, Valentine's, Hanukkah, whatever. Hint, do it. Hint, yeah. Hint,
there's no way to get it for Allie because she's going to order it today. So
Trust me, on Amazon Prime right now.
Like she can lift it. Hey, David. What is the creme de la creme of your collection? Ralph says you have quite a collection, not just of Star Wars, but of lots of other geek stuff.
He's got house for his collection. Yeah, How cool is he?
That's what's the thing that you're proudest of, or that you're most excited that you own?
I'll say two things. One Star Wars, one non-Star Wars.
Okay.
Star Wars. I actually have a Chewbacca mask that was used on the original Star Wars movie that was later modified for the Star Wars holiday special, which I know, and turned into Mala, Chewbacca's wife, and then the modifications and some other stuff made the Stuart Freeborn, who was the genius makeup guy who built these masks, made him very angry, and he kind of threw it in a garbage bag and stuffed it in his like attic in England, where it was perfectly preserved in kind of a cool, damp attic for like a million years.
Wow.
And now resides in my collection. So it is a full
Mala mask.
It's Chewbacca. It's Chewbacca.
The lowest moment in Star Wars history.
Yes, exactly. It's a clever reminder.
You can get it itchy and a lumpy, and you can get
then
the whole family
then I'm
together.
Good to go. Yeah. So that's up there, and then. I'm a big original comic art collector, which is the hand-drawn original pages that make comic books. And I have some really great stuff in my collection. I have the Star Wars number one cover from Marvel Comics back in the day. But probably one of my piece de resistance is the cover to Giant Size X-Men 1, which is the first appearance of the new X-Men and Wolverine on that team and stuff.
And so what's the address of that place?
It's in El Segundo.
Behind an electrified fence.
Well, Ralph, you have long said the geek shall inherit the earth, and I think we're seeing proof of that right now.
And we have.
No,
apparently they run television, and they have all the good stuff.
That's true, yes. The book is called Star Wars Art, Ralph McQuarrie, available wherever books are sold, and we also just put up the link on the Kevin DeBean Facebook page and Twitter.
Cool.
It would be a great gift for you this holiday season or someone you know, and you're back at work at Veep, I guess, later today?
We are. I'm going back to Veep. We've shot
You guys return in April, right?
Yeah, they haven't given us a date yet, but it's always the end of March or early April.
Okay.
And we've shot the first two already, so eight more to go.
Wonderful.
So really
excited.
Promise
us this won't be your last visit to the Kevin.
I will
David.
Come back truly anytime you
we
want.
We had a great
honestly.
Time. Thank
what
you.
Are you doing
Thank
tomorrow?
Where are you guys with people that take a bunch of selfies?
Where are we with that?
Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Okay cry with for it? Help.
Doesn't affect you?
Really?
You
it's
Allie,
a total
you say it's cry for help?
Help? Yes.
It doesn't bother me at all.
I will tell you that my rule on selfies is pretty much if I'm at an interesting place, I'll take a selfie. But otherwise, nobody wants to look at this.
Oh, you mean selfies of myself? Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
But with other people, it doesn't bother me at
all. Doesn't bother you when other people are
taking
selfies.
No, not at all.
I saw a piece on the news the other night that I was fascinated with for a couple of reasons. One of which is they say that if you fake smile in your selfies, you will be a happier person. And that is counterintuitive to me.
If you fake smile.
Fake smile. Don't even have to be happy. Don't even have to be having a good time. But if you pretend to be having a good time in your photos, ultimately it will make you a happier person. Does
really?
That make sense to you guys?
Not really.
No, I don't understand
like
why.
Over time it would make you more depressed.
I would think so too because you're trying to put a spin on your life that isn't real.
But maybe you look back on that picture and see joy and happiness. Maybe.
Well, let's hear the story from CBS Evening News.
Make a pose. Jackie Kyler is a self-proclaimed selfie fanatic.
There is an art form to selfie taking, correct?
Yeah, you gotta up, okay. You know, so because you can't have the double chin.
You don't want the double chin?
No.
Okay, all right, which I don't want.
Okay.
All right, now all girls know that, right, Allie? You take the photo from
should.
Above,
yes,
not from,
absolutely.
Not from below, okay?
The Indiana native was in Los Angeles for less than 2 days and had already taken 60 selfies.
Okay. Now, am I wrong to hate this lady?
I don't hate her. I mean,
she's a tourist. I guess she's a tourist, and maybe here's one in front of the Hollywood sign. Here's one in front of the Chinese theater. Here's one in front of the whatever. I get you're on vacation, but 60 selfies in 3 days?
If she likes the way she looks, I have no problem with that. I just don't like the way I look that much.
I think I'm with Allie. I think cry for help here. I really do.
All right.
By the way, I don't know the story, but one of those selfies that they showed on the news is her standing with Jimmy Kimmel. So I don't know how that happened, but that was one of her pictures.
So what is it about the selfie that makes you so happy?
You just want to document everything that you're doing and send it out to everybody so they can see. Kyler is not alone. Selfie mania is everywhere, whether you're an A-list celebrity or just feel like one.
By the way, this whole you want to document everything that happens in your life and send it out to everyone you know. Does she think that her friends are that interested in what she's doing every minute of her 3 days in Los Angeles?
I'm not a fan of the, hey, look how much better I am than you selfie. Not a big fan of that.
What about the selfie with then a really inspirational quote under, but it's really just to show how hot your boobs look in the picture? Because well, that's my favorite.
I'm fine because of hot boobs.
Okay, got it.
Got no complaints about those. But whatever writing. You can
I'm not quote, looking at the writing.
Oh, you can quote it. Hitler on those photos if you want. I'm still fine with it.
A new selfie study from the University of California, Irvine, says taking more smiling selfies increases your chances of happiness.
All right. So here's the controversial theory, that the conclusion that they came to in
that's
this
odd.
Thing. Let's see if we can figure out why.
41 students spent 4 weeks taking selfies and then reporting their moods. Over time, they noticed an obvious change. They were happier and more confident, and that mood lasted the entire day, even when they fake smiled. So you can convince yourself that you're happy.
You can engage in the act of being happy.
USC Associate Professor Mark Marino incorporates selfies in one of his writing classes.
Okay, why are we paying to send kids to college anymore?
to take selfies?
You're taking selfies in your college classes now?
That's pretty sweet.
Right?
That's
kind
cool.
Of self-reflection helps people to identify both features, both who they want to see themselves as and who they're communicating themselves to be.
Okay, now this is another thing that is just at odds with my beliefs, which is You're taking a photo of a person you want everybody to think that you are, the person that you're being, the life that you're living. But
right.
Very rarely is it an accurate reflection of your life, because you never take the pictures of you doing the dishes or crying face down on the couch.
Sobbing and eating ice cream in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, look, I understand you want to put the best possible spin on your life. But don't you think at some point you're living a lie? Your social media life is so different from your real life that I feel like something's got to give somewhere.
Yeah, you're acting like people disconnect. That take a ton of selfies are self-aware. They're not.
Well, that
by
but
definition.
Also, but also, I think most people that see selfies understand that that's them trying to put their best foot forward. You know what I mean? It's like they're not trying to act like that's their life. But most people understand you only put up highlights.
Does it seem healthy to you, though? Or would you be concerned about a person like this that we're hearing on the news?
I don't care about this person. I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm saying I'm fine with her. I'm fine.
Psychologist and UCLA associate professor Yelda Uhls warns too many selfies could be too much of a good thing.
All right. Now, let me stop right there and say.
Oh, so there's a quantifier.
There is a quantifier.
Okay.
Do you guys remember about a month ago when Kim Kardashian went on a 4-day vacation in Mexico, and she says, and I don't have any way to independently verify this, she says that she took 6,000 selfies.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow. In 4 days. That's
you're
a mental disorder,
you're not
right?
Enjoying where you are because you're so busy trying to pose and get that perfect picture.
You're
not living in the moment anymore.
I can see that completely. But for her, that's sort of business.
That's who she is. That's
her
brand.
Job, right?
Yeah, so yeah. I can see why she does that.
All right.
Plus
well, listen,
hot.
Draw your own conclusions. Okay. I guess our takeaway from this is, like Ali suggested, is just put up pictures where your boobs look good and everybody will be happy.
Right.
Oh, come on.
I felt like that
strong.
Was great.
Come on now.
Strong.
That was dope.
That looks way dope, Kev Dog.
I said dope off the air about an hour ago, and Chip has just been hammering me.
Yeah, because no one says that, really.
Anymore. I feel like I pulled it off.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
I do.
Right.
Would you say you're dope?
I'll use it on my own terms, Bean.
Hey, hang on, because Ralph's here with the show to feet. And then we're going to give away more tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights in the next 15 minutes. Get the details at KREC.com. What's going on, Ralph?
This is just a great day. Talking Star Wars, Captain Planet, Candy Crush.
It's the greatest day ever.
It's the greatest day ever. For those who didn't hear, Leonardo DiCaprio apparently is doing the right thing for a change. Him too. Instead of making all those crappy movies, usually makes, Titanic, Wolf of Wall Street,
And by crappy, you mean great?
Whatever. Making a good movie for a change. Captain Planet, yo!
Captain Planet.
Yeah.
The power is yours.
The power is yours!
Yeah, it is.
Wow, works hard for your money is the theme song?
No.
Did you hear it?
It did sound
play
like
that again.
The power is yours.
Da-na-na-na, she works hard for the money.
Sort of was,
saving your planet. Yes, saving your planet. Saving your planet so that you can breathe the air.
You can't use language like that.
Say that.
I think I just did.
Yeah, but I'm saying we can't let it go on the air.
Oh, well then.
It was accurate, but.
Thank you. Listen, everyone else who's listening to the show loves Captain Planet and his Planeteers, and they're right. And now, you know how Leonardo DiCaprio feels about the environmental causes.
Sure.
So he's using this as a vehicle to teach the youth of America that we have to take care of our planet, or else we will surely die.
Hmm.
See, Captain Planet, there's five kids who got rings, and when they put the rings together, they were the five elements of the planet.
Right.
And Gaia, Mother Nature, gave them the rings, and so they could call up Captain Planet, and he would help save the planet.
What if one of them was sick? Could they not summon
no
Captain
No one called
planet?
In sick. None of the Planeteers called in sick.
Right.
You would make an awful Planeteer, by the way, Kevin, because you would only show up like 3 days out of the week, and the planet would die because they wouldn't be able to find you and your planet ring.
Hope you don't need them on Wednesday.
Well, we don't need wind. We got fire. We got water. We got heart. Where's wind?
I'd be heart.
Right.
The power is yours.
Anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio, bring it to the big screen for Paramount. So look for that in a theater near you sometime. The planet may be dead before we actually get the movie, but who knows? We'll see. Hey, this Azealia Banks, she's got an axe to grind. She's got a problem. She's got a thing.
She won't be invited to my next dinner party. I know that.
Right?
And you have a lot of them.
She says that she was assaulted by Russell Crowe.
He threw a phone at her?
No. Apparently he had a party in his hotel suite last Saturday night, and she was invited along with her buddy Raz. And she did not like his selection of music. And apparently at one point in the party called him and another guest boring white men. Russell Crowe took umbrage to that and apparently said that she needed to go. Now, she claims she was called a bad racial epithet, choked and spat on.
Hmm.
Other guests who were there say she was the one throwing the N-word around and then threatened to stab Russell Crowe with a broken glass. So I don't know who you believe in this situation, but the police are investigating the matter because she filed a battery complaint.
That's a dinner party.
Right? That is a dinner party.
Right?
Hey, Raz, who she was there with, says she was the one using the N-word, not Russell Crowe.
Is it Raz or RZA?
It's RZA.
It's RZA. Yeah.
Oh. Well, this story.
I thought maybe it was somebody else.
This story says R-A-Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just reading what they
wrote here. We know our sources. Yeah. That source is pretty shaky.
Yeah. Anyway, they're investigating, and we will find out, I guess, at one point what happened. But she did, according to witnesses, did threaten to stab Russell with a broken glass. But he's like Gladiator. Couldn't he bring out his shield and sword and then take
it? I don't know that he always has that.
Are you not entertained? The power is yours.
The power is yours.
That sounds very Scientology to me.
Yes, you're right. No, saving the environment is absolutely Scientology's biggest issue. Get a scan. I'm telling you, get a scan.
It doesn't matter what it is. He just has to crap all over it.
You've got to have someone check out your brain. Something's gone wrong.
It sounded cult-like. That whole, the power is within you. It sounds like we're at a Tony Robbins seminar or we're at some sort of, you know.
It's not the power. I can't wait for Bean's inspirational cartoon message. You are powerless, kids. Don't forget, you're powerless. Captain Bean here, saying, just lie down and die. Ba-ba-da-da-da. I think we need to take a look at a couple episodes of Captain Bean, the new animated series, Captain Bean.
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf is 25 years old today. Zac Efron is 29.
Oh, my gosh, Zac Efron is so beautiful.
Frida Pinto is 32 years old. Actress Joy Bryant is 42. Jean-Claude Van Damme. The Muscles from Brussels, 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Finally.
Nope.
Who's with me?
About damn yep. time.
Come on. Zero what is it, people. Like the 18th of October?
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
How dare you, Kevin.
Ooh, ah.
Don't you think this is dope?
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Stop it.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Speaking of the Halloween, I want to congratulate and thanks for listening to Pedro Rodriguez from Inglewood. He just won his tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Night. We got them for you every hour, all day long today on K-Rock, up until 9 p.m. So if you want to win your tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, go to K-Rock.com for all the details and keep listening for your chance to win. It is Tuesday morning. Rob is here now with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Rob Garman?
Hey, where'd it go?
Away, where it should be.
It's where you should be. Boom!
I don't feel like that was boom or charbroiled.
It's no casket.
Right?
It's true.
What is? Television.
Right?
We all watch it.
Yes.
But can it kill you?
I hope not.
Tune in tonight at 11.
If it can, Allie is gone.
Or are we in sweeps? Is that why you won't tell us now?
I'm trying to get everybody excited to tune in later. No, television, a lot of news, a lot of shows getting canceled, a lot of shows getting picked up. We're starting to find out. We're shaking that new fall season, seeing what's going to stick and what's going to fall.
Well, there's a pretty low success rate for new shows every season, right? 10 go on the air and one survives usually, right?
I don't know the exact percentage, but
is yes. it 10 to 1?
Yeah, I don't know if it's 10 to 1, but usually less shows stick around.
But for every 10, does one make it?
I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are. I really not. But here's what I do know. You won't have Brain Dead to kick around anymore, right?
Oh.
Really?
I don't know what that is. I was kidding. Oh,
I was about to take
Lord.
You down.
I have not even heard of that show.
Brain Dead. You all watched it over the summer, didn't you?
Open up a blog.
The story, the comic / serious story of alien creatures coming and invading the brains of politicians in Washington,
oh,
D.C.
I heard about it. I did hear about it. I never saw it.
That aired? Tony Shalhoub.
I did
one
hear
of the
about
stars.
It.
Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Good cast.
Yeah.
Low ratings. Canceled. American Gothic. Also canceled. Right? With Virginia Madsen.
I watched the first episode of that one. Didn't care for it.
About a prominent Boston family who's linked to a string of murders. Well, aren't they all?
Right.
Isn't every family in Boston linked to
yeah,
murder?
Correct.
How was I not into that?
Right?
Murder and Boston?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry.
Canceled. No more for you. Let's look at the upside of television. Walking Dead hasn't even begun its seventh season yet, and it's just been renewed for an eighth season. So there's no doubt we'll be getting many more episodes of Negan and his bat hitting. Ow! Dead! Whoa, brains. All that's going to be coming
hey,
back.
Spoiler alert. Oh, hasn't aired yet.
Bosch. If you're not watching Bosch over on Amazon Prime, you're missing out. Great show.
It is a
Bosch.
Good show.
Bosch. Story of a Los Angeles detective played by Titus Welliver. It's good. Really good show.
We had him on to promote that. I enjoy that very much.
Hulu has picked up a third season of Difficult People with Julie Klausner and Billy Eichner.
Funny show.
So all those shows are back, and you can enjoy them all at your leisure. However, you can't enjoy Billy Bush anymore over the Today Show. It's all over.
I never enjoyed him on the Today Show.
Oh, you know what? Stop it. You're the one who always said he was great.
Correct. He was really good on Access Hollywood back in the day.
He was unwatchable and annoying. You'd be like, oh, I love Billy Bush. He's so
back
good.
Back in the day, I liked him better than the last few years.
What
changed?
Doing? See what he's doing now with the spin? With
what
the
changed?
No, no,
he's
no,
the
no.
same guy. He's
changing history.
He's
I
the exact same guy.
I don't know. I never liked him.
I got to a point where I just got tired of that style of television. And
dullness?
Kind of stopped watching
the style
shows.
Of dullness? Talentless hacks?
Smarmy.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I never really liked Hitler at the end of his career. His early 30s stuff was good. That's what Bean is. He's that
he had
guy.
A lot of good ideas.
That guy in Germany. Anyways, gone. Good. Hit the bricks. Get out of your job and you leave it with nothing. You get nothing, sir. Good day, sir. Oh, wait a minute. He got $9 million.
Hmm.
That's the way to get out of a job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was he getting paid to work if he was getting $9 million to leave? Craziness. And speaking of leaving, Amber Rose. She got booted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Anyone watching that?
Hate to see her go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calvin Johnson, Megatron, was also in danger last night, and singer Jana Kramer. But Amber was the one who actually got the boot, so... Sorry. Sorry about that, Amber Rose. Love her.
But not enough to watch her show.
It's going to rub her head.
Is the little person still on, do we know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm assuming yes.
What about the little person?
She's under the radar.
Oy.
Vey.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Oh, well played, sir.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is 56. Joey Bryant turns 42. Frida Pinto, 32 years old today. Zac Efron is 29 years old. And Tyler Posey, Teen Wolf fame, turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. You know what we get out of this? A commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m.
That is helpful.
On K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Ben Glebe and also comedian Ray Romano. Join us. We'll see you tomorrow.